On this edition of Track Record on Share Radio, Lawrence Lamesh. He is a property owner, but above and beyond all that, he makes it seem so easy. How can we all get on the property ladder at a time when it seems as though it's becoming more and more impossible? He reckons that with a pound in your pocket, you can certainly do that, which means he's committed this idea to paper because he's also a published author, How I Bought 3 London Properties for a Football Ticket. On this edition of Track Record on Share Radio, let's welcome Lawrence Lamesh alongside. Hello, thanks for coming in today. And we have to start at the start of your property career and ask you, first of all, how you got the money that you had together in order to buy the property that you did at the silly prices that you paid for it.
I guess it all started with my childhood. My mother, I was a single, you know, parent family growing up. My mother had no money at all. She worked really hard, 3 jobs. I didn't get any qualifications whatsoever at school. I completely failed. There's nothing special about me at all. I just have worked out a system from other successful people that has worked, which has enabled me to buy property in London for a pound without the need of a mortgage or a deposit.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about your mum, because I'm hearing nothing other than a very strong work ethic and a determination at all costs to, you know, sort out the family and to bring in the bread.
Yeah, absolutely. She's an incredible mother. She did so much for me as a child, as a teenager, helped me throughout my life. She saw that I was terrible at school. I failed school, didn't get any qualifications. As I said, I was in the bottom classes. Even careers day, when they would ask you at school, what do you want to be when you get older? And I would have a whole list of things I would love to do and what I want to become. And I said, I want to be an author. And the teacher laughed at me in front of all the other kids. And I thought, I will become an author. I will succeed. I don't know how. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to make it. So I was really, really determined as a child to be successful. And my mother always said to me, look, don't worry, you don't need school. You'll be a businessman when you get older. It doesn't matter that you're no good at school. So she always encouraged me as a small child.
She could always see the years ahead by the sounds of it.
Yeah, she could.
Do you remember how dispiriting it was to have had that reaction from a teacher?
I would say I don't think it affected me that badly because I could kind of see my future. I have always had faith. I've always had belief in myself that one day I can kind of work it out. And my mother would say to me things like, you know, Richard Branson didn't get any qualifications. He left school with nothing. And she would give me stories like this. Bernard Matthews would look after his chickens in the back garden. I probably shouldn't say that because I'm vegetarian. But she would give me inspiring stories like this throughout my childhood.
But nonetheless, there are countless examples of entrepreneurs, of successful businessmen and women who haven't trodden a regular path of being successful at school, going through university and building up a solid working background before doing whatever it was they later became the success in. Actually, the picture is more commonly that that path has been somewhat unconventional.
Yeah, absolutely. My dream has always been to move to London. So originally I grew up in Essex and then we moved to Suffolk and then I had to try and figure out a way to come back to London. So I didn't have any money whatsoever, but I had a very old Ford Fiesta car. So I would drive to London and I'd actually sleep in my car. And I slept in my car in 1997, the winter of 1997 to 1998, in order to find work here and in order to find somewhere to live. Now, it's kind of like a vicious circle because I would kind of get up in the morning, I would buy the Loot newspaper, I would call from the payphones, and I'd have to talk really, really quickly before my money ran out.
Before 10p ran out, yeah.
So, yeah, I would kind of say, look, I've just seen your job, I think I'm the perfect candidate. When can I come in for an interview?
Here's my 10-second sell.
I had to really be quick. So I would get loads of interviews. I was offered one job, and they said, where do you live? And I said, in a car park in Redbridge, in my car. And they looked at me strangely and said, well, when you've got a proper address, you can reapply. So then I thought, You know what? I need to find somewhere to live first. So every letting agent and landlord I went to, their first question was, are you working? No. Or come back to us when you found a job. But luckily, I met this amazing landlord who was a retired gentleman. And he was actually a prisoner of war during the Second World War. And he actually escaped a concentration camp and came to London with nothing. So maybe he saw something kind of similar in myself as a young man that he was. So he gave me a chance when no one else would. And I'm eternally grateful for that and for him.
I'd certainly like to hear more of that story, and we will do in a moment or so. After your first track record choice, which is from the Beatles, you've gone for I Saw Her Standing There. Tell us, Lawrence, why you've chosen this.
Yes, I absolutely love the Beatles. The Beatles are my life. As a child growing up, I would have all the posters. I would cut out magazines and newspaper articles and stick them on my wall. Or I would save all my pocket money to buy every single Beatles record. And it's an absolute honour to play this as a first song. I remember going to watch Paul McCartney live in concert, and I actually, I had a ticket at the very, very back where you could barely see him. So I worked out a way to get to the very front row, and I sat in the front row for the whole concert. And when I saw this next song, I was kind of playing air guitar and, you know, thinking, oh, look, I'm the Beatles. And then Paul saw me. And he came over to me and started kind of playing just above me and singing. And I was singing. I was so happy. And he just reminds me of that moment. And actually, in 1996, I actually nominated Paul McCartney for a knighthood. So when he was knighted in 1997, I actually went to Buckingham Palace. And I think his agent at the time found out what I had done. So he had come up to me because I was speaking to a few journalists. And he said, oh, look, how do I spell your name? Is it with a U or is it with a W? And I thought, that's a bit strange to ask. It's with a U. I'm Lawrence. And he said, OK, well, really nice to meet you. And I'm going to go off to meet Paul now in Buckingham Palace. And yeah, goodbye. So I thought, OK, nice guy. He came back after Paul got knighted and gave me an autograph that Paul McCartney signed to Lawrence Paul McCartney.
Spelled correctly,
yeah. And he said, this is from Paul. Paul wanted you to have this. And this is the first autograph he signed as Sir Paul McCartney. And it's one of my most treasured items. I absolutely love it. And it's on my wall and I see it every single day.
You're listening to Track Record on Share Radio with the Beatles, and I Saw Her Standing There. It's one of a list of songs on this edition of Track Record, as chosen by Lawrence Lemesh. Now, he's the author of a new book. The book is called How I Bought Three London Properties for a Football Ticket, and there's a story alone. But we started this story by talking about how you were caught between two posts. You saw the bright lights of London, you were applying, you know, for dozens of jobs every week, kipping in your car and banging up against the same problem that you didn't have a permanent address, therefore you're unemployable. Because you're unemployable, you couldn't get a permanent address. And you were on the verge of telling us of a former refugee's kind of adopting of you in a way. You reckon this elderly gentleman saw something in you that he'd experienced himself during the post-war years?
Yes, I believe so, because his daughter, who runs the business, she was on maternity leave at the time. And when she came back, she said, you're lucky you met my father, because I wouldn't have given you a property, because we don't let to people who don't have jobs. Mm-hmm. But obviously my father saw something in you and believed in you. And I said, look, if you give me a chance to rent one of your rooms, and bear in mind, this room was the size of a telephone box. It was very small. I had to share a toilet and a bathroom with many other people, but I just needed somewhere to start. So he was very, very kind, and I never let him down. I always paid my rent on time.
It was a postcode.
Yes, yeah. It was.
And that was crucial.
Yes.
That was crucial. So the next time you opened up Loot and you rang after a potential job, how different was the conversation?
Yes, I really wanted to do everything I can. My intention as a child was to set up my own business. I had no idea how to do that. So I just thought, you know what, my next step is to move to London, find any way that I can to move here. And I did get a job, pay my rent, survive, and then work out a way how to set up my own business.
Had you interests? Had you an inkling of where you might want to be or what line you wanted to work in?
Yeah, I dreamed that one day I would own my own property in London. That was an absolute dream because as a child, I loved playing Monopoly and I always won. But no one wanted to play with me.
So it's a whole bricks and mortar thing with you.
Yeah, I wanted to own every single street in London and I love Monopoly. It's a fantastic game. And so that inspired me to think, how can I get on the property ladder? But every single year, a lot of people are priced out. You need a large deposit. You need to earn a very, very good income. It's really, really tough. So I basically worked in London for 3 years, different jobs. I got sacked from many of the jobs because, quite frankly, I wasn't that good. A lot of the jobs that I worked in, or my face didn't fit, or I didn't go to the pub at the end of the day with the manager to be buddies. You know, I'm not like that. So I thought to myself, you know, what can I do? I was like a hamster in a hamster wheel, turning around, running fast, getting nowhere quickly. So I thought, what's my greatest fear in life? And I thought public speaking. So I thought, how can I overcome that? Let me become a tour guide on the open top buses in London.
Well, let's confront that fear directly.
Yeah, let me do that.
But monetize it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I thought when I saw them, when I used to walk into the office every day, they seem to have so much fun. They love their job. They're out in the open, speaking to tourists from people from all over the world.
Forced to be upfront, forced to be gregarious.
Yeah.
Forced to know.
Yeah.
Forced to have knowledge.
Yeah. So I went on this training course. It was a 2-week training course with an open top bus company and everyone passed.
I can just see you in the red jacket.
Because they didn't pay you basically to train with them. Everyone passed. There was 2 people that failed and I was one of them that failed. So they said no to me. I wasn't that good, but I believe I could become the greatest tour guide in London if only they give me a chance. So I would go home every single night. I'd stand on my chair in my little room and practice in my mind's eye the 2-hour tour. And I'd stand up with a hairbrush, pretend it as a microphone, and just say, ladies and gentlemen, coming up on the left, here is Buckingham Palace and here's Her Majesty the Queen. So I would do these crazy impressions, you know, I'd make fun, I'd you know, have a laugh and luckily they gave me a chance. They saw something in me and I've still got to this day over 100 different cards that people have posted from all over the world, America, Canada, Australia, Germany, France, everywhere saying, Lawrence, you're the greatest tour guide I've ever been on. Any tour. You made my trip in London special.
And of course, it had the added bonus of meaning that you got to know London particularly well as well. Let's pause and hear your next track record choice from Lawrence Lemesh, who joins us on this edition of Track Record on Share Radio. You've gone for Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. Tell us why you've chosen this.
Yes, I love Michael Jackson. He was such a beautiful soul. He made the world a better place.
Dance on the floor in the round.
Michael Jackson's Billie Jean, a song that just urges you to dance, as Lawrence Lamesh, I'm sure, would no doubt agree. It's one of his choices on Track Record on Cher Radio. Not just a property magnate of sorts, Lawrence is also the author of a new book, How I Bought Three London Properties for a Football Ticket. Now, we are going to come on to this in just a little while, but you've told the story so far of not having the greatest of upbringings, not being terribly successful when it came to education, a mum who worked three jobs to look after the family, but a determination that you knew you wanted to do something in business, you wanted to own property, you wanted to do something for yourself. You just needed to know how to get the first toehold, I suppose. Having secured your phone box sized room, having had an address, having got your first job, how quickly were you in the swing of corporate life, as it was, in the city?
Well, when I was a tour guide, I set myself a one-year goal that I would meet someone on my tour who would give me the opportunity to live and work in America. Mm-hmm. So every single day that I woke up out of bed, I was so excited I couldn't almost sleep the night before.
Well, today's the day I'm going to meet that person.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought, Sue. Today is the day that I'm going to meet someone on my tour that will give me an opportunity to live and work in America. So when I went to work, people said, Lawrence, you are crazy. I've been doing this job for 10 years, 20 years. No one's offered me a job. And I thought, yeah, but that's you. It's not me. They're going to offer me a job. I have crystal determination.
And did you have people around you saying that? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah. All the time. But I knew it would.
You know, stick to the tour guiding.
Yeah. But I just had this belief that it would. And 6 months later, I met an American guy who came on my tour. Within 5 minutes, he offered me a chance to live and work in America. He paid for my plane ticket, free accommodation, and said, look, come train with me, see how I do things. I run a business and you can learn from me. And it's exactly that, everything I imagined.
That sounds completely Cinderella.
Yeah, it was.
That sounds completely nuts. That doesn't happen on the top deck of an open-top tour bus in London, does it?
It does if you have the belief. What you have to do is, if you have a goal, if you have a dream, I say to people, just kind of write it down, and you've got to kind of put an exact date when you want to achieve it, like in 1 year's time, and then every single day do a little thing that gets you one step closer to your goal, and just believe it 100%, and it will come true and it will happen. And it's what happened to me. And then when I went to America, I thought, right, I've got 3 months to find a business in America and bring it back to London. I had no idea what it was, but I found that business.
All right. I want to hear about this man and this business and what it gave you in a few minutes' time after your next track record. And maybe it's timely that we play this at this point. David Bowie and Heroes.
Yes. As David Bowie would say, hero, be a hero just for one day. And that's what I'm trying to do with my life.
More to
right
the point,
now.
We can all be.
We can all be. Heroes. Everyone can be a hero. Yeah. I always dreamed of being Superman when I was a child. I love Superman, you know, and anyone can be a hero. And this song is so inspiring. It's so magical. And that's what I'm trying to do right now, inspiring other landlords and people to dream big.
This is Track Record on Share Radio. On this edition, joining us is Lawrence Lemesh. He is a property owner, landlord, and published author these days too. The book is How I Bought Three London Properties for a Football Ticket. But that came some time after your American adventure. Tell us about Bus Guy.
Yeah, so I went to America. It's a fantastic country. I love America. It's an amazing place. And when I was over there, I went to Disney World. My mum could never afford for us to go to Disney World, so I took myself there when I was older. It's a magical place. I was more excited than the kids going to Disney. I couldn't believe I met Mickey Mouse. It was incredible. I loved it. Absolutely loved the place. So in Disney, they have somewhere called Pleasure Island, and it's for adults. It's over 21-year-olds, and it's full of nightclubs. There's a disco nightclub with a revolving dance floor, and I thought, this is the best place ever. And every single night at midnight, they have a New Year's Eve party. So they celebrate fireworks, only Disney, balloons, they celebrate, you know. Oh,
you can take
fantastic.
The boy out of Essex, but you can't take the Essex out of the boy.
Yeah, it's incredible. Exactly. And I thought, wow, wouldn't this be great if I could bring this to London and join every single club in Leicester Square together. I could get people into three nightclubs in one night and a free drink for £10. Mm-hmm. That's where the concept came in my mind. So I think that's where the concept came from. Maybe I could be an independent ticket operator with a ticket office that could give people impartial advice and get them to the right nightclub. Mm. If they don't like it, they can come back for a full refund.
So you were thinking through the mechanism and everything else. Okay. And did you bring it to Leicester Square?
I did. Yeah, I did. We did really well, really well. It was a fantastic concept. And I used to stand on the street in the cold, and I used to get about 50 people in at a time. And so I thought, you know what, I can never be as successful as I want to be if I'm just doing this by myself. So I need to employ more people. So it made me focus on, and bear in mind, I have no idea what I'm doing. I've never run a business before. I've never employed any staff. But I just thought, I'm not going to let that stop me. I used to go, when I used to sleep in my car, to Waterstones every night in Piccadilly, the bookshop, to read books about business, about success, about how other people did it. But they never told you the secret. Mm. So that's why I thought, I'm going to write a book that's going to be different. I'm going to write a book when I've made it that will give all my secrets away in that book. And that's exactly what I've done.
Why should someone, again, like the former refugee, adopt you, take you on like that? Is that part of the secret, maybe, that we need people in our corner?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it comes down to people at the end of the day. And if someone likes you, then they want to help you. And maybe he saw something in me, and you know, maybe it's my intention or my thoughts are so strong that I kind of manifested and attracted it to me. That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. So anyone can do this.
And when you're young and when you have ambition, there's a certain amount of, yeah, well, why not? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, why not? You know, that perhaps in our 30s and 40s, as we get older, we become a bit more reserved and a bit more questioning. But yeah, I guess when you're so recently living out of the back of a Ford Fiesta, when someone throws an opportunity your way, you say, yeah, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Even though it was to give up everything that I had worked for to come to London for, that was another dream that I had to take.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons and Beggin'. And perhaps before it, your reason for choosing it?
I love this song because it kind of reminds me of me and my life, that I have got tired of going to the banks and begging them for a mortgage. And to get a mortgage, I believe, is the old way of buying property here in the UK today. So I kind of thought, wouldn't it be great if I could come up with a way that you don't need a mortgage, you don't need a deposit to buy a property? So that's exactly what I do right now. I buy properties for £1 without the need of a mortgage, without the need of a deposit. And I've written this book, and this book, the banks don't want me to publish because inside it gives the secret from ordinary, everyday people, just like you and me, Sue. Everyone listening, you can go out and get a property for £1 if you read the concepts and the secrets that I follow, step-by-step processes that anyone can do. So this song, Beggin', is exactly that.
All right, brilliant. I've got a fiver in my pocket.
You can buy five homes.
Put your love in.
You're listening to Track Record on Share Radio. Lawrence Lemesh is alongside. He's written this great book, and naturally, of course, you're doing a great job of talking it up yourself. How I Bought 3 London Properties for a Football Ticket. And even now, you maintain that if you've got a quid in your pocket, well, there's no holding you back when it comes to buying property. I'll press you on that in just a moment or two. Having brought a new disco concept to London, having again worked the streets in order to work the people in the streets in order to make it a success, in not really knowing what you were doing, how you were doing it, and you know, hoping that it all kind of paid for itself, did you start to see some money and some profit?
I did, yeah, okay. Straight away.
And this is where you were thinking, okay, it's time to invest in the bricks and mortar that you so
exactly.
wanted.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I did. I bought my first property in Islington in London as my own home. The traditional way, I bought it with a mortgage and I had to save up all my deposit, all my money went on that. When I moved in the first day, the only thing I could afford for months was actually a mattress. I didn't even have any curtains. But I knew it was the right decision to make because traditionally...
But you had a front door.
I had a front door.
You had a key. Yeah,
and a key and a roof
and
over
a postcode.
My head. Yeah. And that's it. That's all you need. And I know because traditionally here in the UK, property prices double in value every 10 years. So I knew whatever I did, I've got to get on this property ladder because it's a boom in this country.
And not just get on the property ladder, but when you're talking there about living with the bare minimum as you were, it's hanging on to the property ladder as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I did that. And then over the years, I could see my property without renovating it, decorating it, doing anything to the property. It was going up in value every single year. And I kind of, even though the job or the business that I created was doing very, very well in most people's eyes, I didn't think I could become financially free. So I thought, you know what, let me close down this business. Because if only I could figure out a way to buy one property a year, I would be financially free, in a much better position than what I am right now.
That's still a big leap, though, from mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
And some solidity in your Thursday, Friday, Saturday night trade.
Mm-hmm.
At least you were making money and you knew what you were doing there by that stage, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
But to shut it down and walk away, that's brave, foolhardy, both?
Yeah, I mean, I took that decision 4 years later. So by then I bought a bed and
you
a
had
desk
a bed and a cooker. And
you know,
like
cooker,
that.
Yeah, and a saucepan and the basics. So, but there was a burning desire within inside me that saw properties going up so rapidly in value in London. And I just thought this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. The best time to do anything is to do it now. So I need to leave this business. This is holding me back and I need to jump fully in, fully committed into figuring out a way to buy property. So that's exactly what I did. I remortgaged that property to buy another one-bedroom flat in King's Cross in 2008, bought it for £165,000. Didn't know what I was doing. When my mum saw the property, she almost had a fit. She couldn't believe, she thought I wasted my money. And I said, don't worry, I know what I'm doing. I've been on a property course.
Had you?
I had, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I, you know...
And you'd read every book in Waterstones by then?
Yeah, pretty much. So I thought, I know what I'm doing. I need to just refurbish this property, put in a new bathroom, new kitchen. And within 3 months, the value increased to £110,000. I still hold this property today and I rent it out as a serviced accommodation, as a holiday let. At that time, 2008, the recession happened. The mortgages were really, really tough to get. And I couldn't get a mortgage, didn't have any more money to get any more property. So I kept thinking to myself, there must be a better way to buy property in London, in the UK, without the need of a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And I kept asking myself that question over and over again until I figured out a way that I could do it.
Well, surely the answer is you have to have the cash.
No, you don't need it. That's what everyone thinks. You really, really don't need it. And the title of my book, How I Bought 3 London Properties for a Football Ticket, I explain exactly how I did that in this book with this gentleman who basically have 3 properties. I talked to him every single month about his properties and he basically wanted £600,000 for his 3 properties. Now, they were only worth £500,000. So I kept talking to him and saying, look, I think I can help you. I can give you the money. It's just I can't give it to you right now, but mm-hmm. I can give it to you in the future. Mm-hmm. He kept saying, no, I'm looking for a cash buyer. I said, yeah, no problem, because I truly want to help people. It needs to be a win-win situation for them as well as me. So I said, no problem, maybe go through an estate agent, look for a cash buyer, go to an auction. Anyway, so I kept calling him for 6 months. Mm-hmm. After 6 months, like you do when you talk to people on the phone, I think it was a Monday, and I called him and I said, oh, hello, how are you? Lawrence here. How's your weekend? And he said, terrible. And I thought, oh, no, what happened? And he said, he mentioned his favourite football team lost. And I said, oh, I didn't know you supported them. Have you been to see them? Oh, no, I haven't seen them for years. And I said, okay, would you like to go see them? Any game of your choice, I will get you a ticket in the very best seat for any game you want to go to. If you do this deal with me, I'll take care of your properties. I'll babysit their mortgage payments every single month for the next 15 years, and I'll buy the properties for the price you want in 15 years' time. And he said, Lawrence, where do I sign?
Because you gave him what he... At that exactly. point in time, that conversation was exactly what he needed.
Yeah, exactly. And I even thought, you know what? No one's probably going to believe this. It almost sounds too good to be true. So I videoed it outside the stadium and said, hello, everyone. I know you won't believe this, but look, this football ticket has bought me 3 London properties. Here's the landlord that gave it to me. So I've still got that.
That's fantastic. What and a terrific
whole story. Story is, yeah.
It does sound as though you wore him down quite a bit, though, as well.
No, not at all. He was happy because I asked him after we did the deal, I said, can I ask you? I know you had loads of other investors that you talked to and loads of other people that were interested in your properties. Why did you choose me? And he said, because I really felt that you cared about me, Lawrence. Genuinely cared about my situation. I felt you really wanted to help me rather than other investors that wanted to take advantage of me. They were the words that he used. And that's what he said to me. And that's why I did the deal.
Your next track record is Nat King Cole and Unforgettable. Tell me why this is on your list.
Yeah, I've always wanted to stand out from the crowd. Whenever I go to events, meetings, conferences, I dress up in a suit, a tie, a handkerchief, to make me feel like $1 million. And also...
Chuck in the odd Michael Jackson impression.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I moonwalk when I meet people. It's fantastic. I want to be unforgettable in everything that I do. That's why I chose this song. It's a beautiful song by Nat King Cole.
Unforgettable. That's what you are. Unforgettable. Though near or far, like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
You're listening to Track Record on Share Radio. Oh, and it's a belter of a story on this edition this week with Lawrence Lamesh, who is alongside. And we finally got there. We got behind the title, How I Bought 3 London Properties for a Football Ticket, which is the book that you always thought that you were going to publish anyway. You always had that ambition that you would be an author. Where are you at the moment? How many properties have you to your name?
In this book, I talk about 7 properties that mm-hmm. I bought. Five I've done with no mortgage, no deposit, buying it for £1, and every single concept and how I've done it, the step-by-step process, I actually share in the book. The other two I bought the traditional way with a mortgage and with a deposit. So I share kind of in the book loads of different concepts. As I said, I really got frustrated when I read so many books by so many authors that didn't tell me or show or share with you how they've become successful, how they started their business, how they bought property, how they've become rich. They don't really give you the answer. So I always thought one day I am going to share the answer. I'm going to give this away. This is my life's work. Is, as I said, I'm naturally a shy person. So whenever I used to go to networking events, I'd sit next to one person and I would maybe get their business card. And at the end of the event, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I'd be kicking myself thinking, oh, I wish I would have talked to more people.
I wish I'd mingled more.
And I always regretted this, you know, because I wasn't brave enough to go up to everyone in the room or different people and say, oh, hello, and introduce myself. I don't know why. So I thought, how can I network without talking to people? And that's another chapter in my book. Mm-hmm. I figured out a way how to network without talking to people. Everyone gives me their business card.
I'd like to know that trick.
Yeah, it's all revealed. And so,
for someone who is self-confessed quite shy and in the early days lacking in the education and lacking in the know-how, but nonetheless fought your way through. You've talked a lot about what you've done and what your thinking has been, and you've mentioned people who have helped along the way, but have there been people more significant in your life than that? I think we all of us need a touchstone, don't we? Someone we can bounce ideas off, maybe a group of people we can bounce ideas off who suit us at the right kind of moment. Are there mentors? Are there sage people in your life who've helped steer you a little bit?
I've kind of always been a loner, if I'm honest, and I've kind of liked my own company. I'm not the kind of person that would go down to the pub on a Friday, Saturday night. You know, and because to be honest, quite frankly, I don't have any friends apart from you now, Sue, hopefully.
Oh, I've got your card now. And your number, so that's fine.
Great. So I've kind of tried to figure this out by myself. But when I started my property journey, it can be very lonely to do it by yourself. And sometimes you do need someone to hold your hand. So I met this great guy on one of the courses that I went on. And I'd recommend this to anyone if you're starting in property or whatever you're starting in. Sometimes it is good to have a buddy or someone that, you know, you can relate to and that you can inspire and help each other with. And actually, I'm starting a free mentorship group, a mastermind group for people that I've done on my Facebook page, and actually met up with a group of people yesterday. Fantastic. To hold each other to account every single month. And with him, he's a family man 10 years ago, and his ambition was to retire at 50. He was 40 at the time. And he said that to me, he had a corporate job. He wanted to replace that with property. So he wanted to build up a property portfolio, buy properties, and the cash flow from the rent, obviously after it's paid the mortgage and all the expenses, he wants to be able to live on that. So we kind of helped each other, inspire each other, do different things every single week. I would speak to him and say, oh, what are you doing this week? And he's like, oh, I'm going to go to visit a few properties with estate agents.
Because sometimes you just need someone else just to underline it for you a little. Someone to give you the teeniest of nudges, or just to say, that's a great idea, or that's a bad idea.
Exactly.
Whatever. So, even if it's just confirmation of what you completely believe to be true.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's what we did every week to each other. I would say, oh, I've printed 10,000 leaflets this week. And then next week I'm going to go and deliver them by myself through all the letterboxes in London in a particular street area. And then the other week he would then advertise in a newspaper. And then the following week I would do something. I would buy a property for £1 and then share my concepts and ideas with him. He would share how he's done things. So we brainstorm, and it's a great way to inspire each other and actually to get each other to account. Because sometimes the week goes by and I'm thinking, oh no, I'm talking to him tomorrow and I've not done anything. So it just inspires
me. It needn't be someone who's necessarily older or more senior than you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be someone who's absolutely on your level as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Elton John's I'm Still Standing is your next track record choice, Lawrence. Tell me why you've chosen this.
I've chosen this song because sometimes in life it doesn't always go your way. Sometimes things happen in business and in life and you get knocked down. But it's such an upbeat song. I love this song because it reminds me to keep standing, to keep fighting, to keep going. Whatever happens in life, I'll come back bigger, stronger and better than ever before. And that's why I love this song. You can never know.
just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
Elton John's I'm Still Standing. You're listening to Track Record on Share Radio, and on this edition, Lawrence Lemesh joins us. He's a published author, something of a property magnate and expert these days, and maintains that we all of us, so long as we have a quid in our pocket, can get ourselves on the property ladder. You'll have to read the book to find out more. The book is called How I Bought Three London Properties for a Football Ticket. Where next? Along the way, have you had your eyes opened to other areas of business? Are there now other sectors, perhaps, that you're interested in?
I've always been interested in teaching other people what I've done. Because over the years, a lot of people, you know, the question is, oh, hello, nice to meet you. How are you? Mm-hmm. What do you do? And when they ask me, I say, oh, I buy properties in London for a pound. They think I'm from another planet or something. And they say, well, how do you do that? I mean, do you go to auction and buy it for a pound?
No. How many times have you had someone say to you, yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of times. You know, they don't believe me almost. But this is, it's just... You know, I never knew how to do it until I learned how to do it. And I think that's the thing. You know, I didn't know how to ride a bike. But then when I did, you know, it's easy.
But if you think about where we are now in terms of the property market, in terms of the crash of several years ago, in terms of personal expenditure and all of that, all we hear from the mainstream press, it seems, is getting on the property ladder is hard. It's expensive. It's nigh on impossible if you haven't done it before. Prices in London and so many other parts of the UK, they are skyrocketing all the time. Only today hasn't there been new figures released that say that actually property prices have increased slightly above expectation for the last month or something like that. So we hear this a lot. We keep being told from one loudspeaker, it's hard, it's nigh on impossible. And you're there saying, nah, all you need is 100 pence.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to inspire people from going from generation rent into generation own.
But you're hinting it's more than you just saying, here's what I did and here's how you can do it as well. It's a bit more than that. You talk about hand-holding,
yeah.
Giving people the motivation, giving people the confidence, allowing people to be cheeky, allowing people to ask, allowing people to develop, because that's so much part of business progression, isn't it?
It is. I mean, another story that how I bought the traditional way, a property from an estate agent, okay? And actually, when I think about it, football's such a great thing because it helped me, this football ticket, buy this property through this estate agent. He would have never offered it to me because I saw something in this estate agent, like perhaps people have seen in me and like you're doing with other people in life that you meet and you connect with. And I thought, this guy can help me, but he wouldn't meet up for me, you know, with for a coffee. He wasn't interested. Mm. He took me to three viewings and that's it. And I said, look, can I buy a coffee? No. Wasn't interested. Anyway, got to find out a bit about him. He said he loves football. So I bought him a ticket for a Champions League game in London. And I pretended, I mean, I'd love to have gone myself, but I thought it would be better if I give it away to him for free. So that's what I did. I gave it to him. I phoned him up and said, oh, hello, I've got a Champions League game tonight. I can't go. Would you like my ticket for free? I don't want anything. Oh, fantastic. Because I knew that if I give him the ticket, he'd have to return it to me the next day in a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, a few days later. So that's exactly what he did. I got talking to him. I bought him coffee, built up a little relationship with him. He liked me. And I said, look, I'm serious. I'm a serious investor. I want to buy more properties, run down properties in London that I can do up, that I can, you know, make a difference to, renovate, refurbish, increase the value. I need you to contact me first before any other investor. So that's exactly mm-hmm. what he did. And it mm-hmm. just cost me the price of a little football ticket.
Mm-hmm. Phil Collins and Another Day in Paradise is also on your Track Record list. Lawrence, tell me about this.
Well, I went to see Phil Collins live in concert in November last year, and this next song really did inspire me to give away one of my properties for free to a homeless lady and her three children over Christmas last year for 1 month, because it was so cold, it snowed, and it kind of reminded me 20 years ago when I first moved to London. So I just wanted to kind of give back and do something nice for someone in need. And that's exactly kind of what I did. And what I really want to try and do is to inspire other landlords in London, England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, in the world. If you have a property that is empty, that no one's in there, maybe try and look to give it to someone in need, a homeless person, because people kind of said to me afterwards, oh, it's going to be trashed, you know, they're going to run off with all your stuff. And I don't believe for one second that would happen. She actually left my property and has now found somewhere even nicer to live. Mm-hmm. And she's left it in a better condition than I gave it to her. Mm-hmm. So everything is perfect. And if only we could, as a society, as a world, help other people if the property that we have is empty until we've rented it out, whether it's a few days, a few weeks, a few months, you know, it would really make a difference, and that's what I'm trying to do right now.
She calls out to the man on the street, "Sir, can you help me? It's cold and I'm nowhere to sleep. Is there somewhere
Phil Collins and Another Day in Paradise. This edition of Track Record on Share Radio has been featuring Lawrence Lemesh, property owner and published author, and rather an astute businessman as well. The book is How I Bought Three London Properties for a Football Ticket. And you've told us this great story of coming to London, following the bright lights, knowing that's kind of where your fortune lay, if that doesn't sound too Dick Whittington. And what it was like to kip in the back of your old car in order to seek the job opportunities next day. As relatively comfortable as your life is now, do you still remember what that feeling was like?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm grateful for every single day.
What's next on your agenda?
Well, I've thought of this reality TV show. Okay, and it's a new concept that I've just thought of, that's a cross between The Apprentice and Secret Millionaire. So it's a fantastic idea, and so I'm kind of working on that. I'm also working on a charity record, and I'm going to break the Guinness World Record this year for one thing. And I've just thought of it, and I'm so excited. And you can join me.
What is it?
I'll tell you nearer the time. But it's a new concept. But I tell you, and I want this recording to prove I will break the record this year, Guinness World Record, because I always dreamed it as a child. The older that you get, sometimes it's kind of almost beaten out of you. And I've always wanted to remain like a child. Because I remember, like, one time my mum used to take me to pantomimes as a child, and she's a wonderful mother, but she would be probably embarrassed if I kind of shout out, "He's behind you! No, he's not!" You know, or like join in, "Shh, don't do that," you know, because we're kind of reserved and quiet and we don't really do that as a society, or join in perhaps. So I thought, you can't do that here. Or like I would, you know, with my straw, we go to restaurants and I would slurp the straw, you know, like near the end of the drink.
Yeah.
My mum would be like, "Shh, oh, you can't do that," you know, and she would almost like say, "Oh, like only adults can do that. You can't do that when you're..." Mm. So I thought, you know, now I take her to very nice restaurants and I do that on purpose in the nicest restaurant, and she would look at me funny, but I'm paying the bill now. So it kind of makes me smile. And then I go to pantomimes by myself and with friends, and I shout out at the wrong parts. I think it's the best thing to do. And I get all the little kids, you know, in the theatre like, he's behind you. And the actors on stage don't know what to say. And all the parents are like saying to their kids, no, don't, it's not the part, not the part. Or like we're singing the
ignore
song.
Ignore the man.
Yeah, he's crazy. Or I'm talking to the actors on stage and they don't know what to do. But I think it's good to be crazy, to be different and to do things that are... most people would find strange, but that's just me, I guess.
It's been a real privilege and a pleasure to have spoken to you and to have heard this amazing story that you've had to tell on this edition of Track Record. You leave us with your last choice, which is Diana Ross's Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Tell us why this one, Lawrence.
I love this song, and I'm playing this song recently because I've just come across my dream home in London. And my mother, as a young boy, would drive me down the Bishop's Avenue. So to inspire me at all the beautiful, wonderful mansions there and say, one day, if you work hard enough, you could live here or somewhere like this. So last summer, I walked up and down the Bishop's Avenue and I just to try and inspire myself mm-hmm. that maybe in a few years time, maybe if I work hard enough, maybe if I dream big enough, I can do this and have a place like this, which has always been a dream of mine. So I found my dream home last year in a part of London that haven't really been to ever before. An amazing property. This song inspires me to work harder, to ain't no mountain high enough to get me closer to my dream home. And that's why I'd love to play it.
Thank you for joining us on Track Record.
Thank you, Sue.
Just call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. On that you can depend and never worry.